entire population of the U.S. knows what a big deal we're facing in Florida with citrus wonglong bean. So what I'm going to do is give you a brief overview of the situation and I hope provide a rationale for why we're having this workshop to try to find therapeutic solutions. So just to go over some of the details, this disease, wonglong bean, also known as citrus greening, first identified in Florida in 2005. This estimate, I think, may even be low, but it's estimated that about 80% of Florida citrus trees are now infected, and certainly there are some groves no longer productive. It's associated with a phloem-limited bacterium, Liberibacter asiaticus, vectored by this critter here. This is not actual size. The critter is about the size of a pencil lead, well sharpened. And this critter is now widespread in Florida and Texas. It's becoming increasingly widespread in California, and Glenn Wright tells me they've pretty much decided they're not going to be able to eradicate it in Arizona. Within a few years of infection, many citrus trees become weak. They have poor quality of fruit, lots of fruit drop, and trees may die, and certainly many of them become useless. Ariel Singerman, new economist with the University of Florida at Lake Alfred, just presented some information from a workshop. He had about, I don't know how many growers it was, but they represented about 150,000 acres of production in Florida. And their consensus was that their crop was reduced by about 40% compared to healthy trees in the past. And a lot of folks have had much, much bigger effects and are out of business. It's hard to overstate what a big deal this is. We've got folks who've been farming citrus for generations that have given up farming. And this really underscores it. This isn't all due to wonglong bean, but a significant part of it is. In the last 15 years, we've had a 60% reduction in citrus crop. This last year, we had the lowest citrus production in Florida that we've had for 50 years. So our iconic industry really is very much in danger. This is really a nice resource provided to me by Dr. Steve Futch. He's a regional extension specialist for citrus. These are the same trees in January 2011 and January 2015. Here the tree is almost perfectly healthy. So you see the dark green foliage, the nice dark green fruit, and a nice heavy crop that you would expect from a healthy Hamlin tree. And this tree, you can see the thinning canopy, the lighter color of the leaves, and fewer fruit, and the fruit are lighter in color, with some that are still quite green. Those are the most symptomatic fruit. And actually, this is not a bad situation. This probably reflects about that 40% reduction in cropping that the growers can get with very extensive foliar nutrition and aggressive silage control. This shows you the kind of effects that you can get in a young planting, so it's not just a problem with older plantings. The younger the trees are when they're first infected, the more severe the results seem to be. And this is a fairly young planting, about two and a half, 3 years old of grapefruit. And you can see here we've got a yellow shoot starting to develop showing the symptoms. My photograph didn't turn out too well here. This is the tree that's highly dwarfed by getting the infection earlier. This probably was infected in its first year. And it's unlikely that these trees will ever be productive. So the growers made, in this case it's a research plot, but growers who've done this, they put the trees in, they've invested the money, and they probably are never gonna get their initial investment back. Advanced infection in mature groves also greatly reduces productivity. They tend to be more buffered. It's slower to develop very severe symptoms. But in this case, this grove probably will not repay production costs. And you see a lot of groves that are like this, where they've just thrown in the hat and they're no longer trying to farm. I frankly think that these numbers are a vast underestimate. I found a citation that 33,000 acres have been abandoned and another 43,000 acres removed. This was out of something over 500,000 acres at the start of the HLB epidemic. So the Florida response to HLB, the very first finds of the disease, we went from a few trees to 39% of the trees in a grove within 10 months. These are places where the psyllid had been abundant, widespread, uncontrolled, because it was not considered an economic pest in the absence of this pathogen. The Florida industry redirected about $15 million a year in advertising. You don't see the Florida sunshine tree much anymore. That money instead has gone to research. And I am compliment the industry and have to confess some personal trepidation by the tremendous confidence they've shown that research would find a solution to this problem. And there have been a number of other pools of money that have gone into trying to find a solution for this by the state of Florida. The California industry has identified this some time ago as their number one priority, and I think that prescience is going to be very helpful in how they deal with the disease. And there's been, I don't know where I got this money, but I don't know. I think there's a typo here. It's $30 million in federal money that have gone into this trying to find solutions. So at first, most growers did what they were advised to do based on experience in other places. They scouted for evidence of HLB infection. They removed infected trees. But this tremendous spread that they saw in the first groves that were infected convinced growers that they were going to put themselves out of business by roguing trees. And so most growers very quickly gave up on that. And instead, they continued to spray aggressively for psyllids, but they maintained the infected trees through a much more aggressive foliar nutrition program. And now it's estimated that it costs about $2,000 per acre for production. Remember, this is $2,000 per acre for a 40% reduction in cropping, compared to about $800 per acre before we had this disease, Muong Long Bean. So production and fruit quality are declining, and the big unanswered question is, what can be done to maintain yield and quality in infected trees? A major concern is that we'll drop below a critical threshold that's needed to maintain our infrastructure, the processing and packing industries. So fruit flavor, quality, and pre-harvest drop are all significant factors. The fruit are acceptable from infected trees if they don't show severe symptoms, but there is a reduction in quality even in these trees. And the pre-harvest drop remains much greater even in trees where the more aggressive nutritional treatments do manage to sustain a good canopy. You see these trees are somewhat yellow from the HLB, and just look at the amount of drop here. Drop has probably increased on average about twofold. We always get some pre-harvest drop, as do virtually any tree fruit industries. One of the successes is the widespread adoption of citrus health management areas. We can just call them CHIMAs. And certainly this coordinated management of psyllids, so within a very large area, everybody has a time that they agree to spray within a week period, so you're not chasing psyllids from grove to grove, is the way they put it. And it does help with control. The disease is slowed, but the disease is still advancing. So this is not a solution in and of itself. It's just part of an effort to slow the spread. So just to step back and give you some statistics, citrus is the number one fruit consumed in the U.S. when you combine fresh fruit and juice consumption. There are another 50 million or so cartons of fresh exports per year. These aren't from this year, it's from 2 years ago, so these numbers likely have gone down. And an estimated value of $9 billion. Across the whole U.S., 75% of the production is sweet orange, 11% is grapefruit, and those percentages are even greater in Florida. And what you may not know, if you don't know citrus, is that all the sweet oranges we grow are mutants of a hybrid that showed up 1,000 or more years ago. So these are near isogenic, and as a result, we have a monoculture. We're in the worst possible situation when it comes to having a new disease introduced. And grapefruit, our number two cultivar, is a hybrid of sweet orange. And at least in Florida, with the isolates we have, there are a couple of things that respond to HLB almost as badly as oranges and grapefruit, but not most things. We have almost the worst possible situation in terms of our cultivar complement. There are some other things. I'm just going to quickly talk about a couple of solutions, but these are not near-term solutions. These are longer-term. There are some things that are much more tolerant to the disease. This is Jackson, grapefruit-like hybrid, very much like a grapefruit, and this is a true grapefruit. Marked difference. And these trees continue to look pretty much like citrus trees and to produce fairly normal crops and have fairly thick canopies. It's evident that a number of Mandarin hybrids are much, much more tolerant to the disease, but our industry is founded on sweet orange and grapefruit, and it will be a major decision for them to decide to switch to other things. And we're trying to really understand the tolerance that is present within some very conventional cultivars. Looking a bit further, we have some intergeneric hybrids that have much greater resistance. This is one we've been working on in the USDA. And the University of Florida has made some observations on rootstocks that seem to convey greater tolerance to HLB. Now, what's apparent to all of you is all these solutions require replanting. Transgenics are also a potential possibility that a lot of work has gone into. Of course, a major advantage is the ability to improve existing cultivars so we can keep the things we know and love. And there was a really nice article in the New York Times a couple of years ago talking about this. By far the furthest along in terms of deregulation is the trees transformed with spinach defensins by Eric Murkoff of Texas A&M, and he's doing this in collaboration with one of our really progressive citrus growers, Southern Garden Citrus. They report even better responses. This is a transgenic Hamlin tree versus a standard Hamlin exposed to HLB, and they say they have some even better things in the greenhouse. We're seeing some really good things in our program. I'm really excited to see this. I want to point out as preliminary data, these are transgenic rootstocks grafted with already infected material. And these are the controls. You can see how stunted they are. And these are two different transgenes. And we're hoping that what we're seeing here is that the rootstock kills, or at least doesn't permit establishment of the bacterium, permitting much greater production. So Florida's pretty much committed to living with the disease at this point. We're looking for therapies for existing trees, the subject of this workshop. New ways to combat the psyllid. There's a big NEPA CAP grant looking at these approaches. We're trying to assess ability to grow new plantings, and there's some very innovative ideas, including growing all citrus under protected culture. It's only going to be for very high-value fruit. And really, we're very much looking to a future with resistant trees. Sorry about that. This is a hair trigger mouse I got here. So California has the psyllid, and so far it's not in most major citrus areas. And I have here two HLB infected trees. I just learned that there's been a fourth find, and now in commercial growing areas. This is since I've submitted this paper. And their focus has been on psyllid monitoring and management, trying to get the citizens aware of the dangers of HLB. And certainly diagnostics for early protection are going to be very important for them. Texas has similar goals, a strong focus on psyllid biocontrol in residential areas, but the evidence is it's getting away from them. I think that the Rio Grande Valley is going to be hot enough that they're not going to have the kind of severity that we've got in Florida, but it's still likely to be a big deal. And Arizona, starting to see the writing on the wall, I'm afraid. I'll make the bold statement that other states are very fortunate that HLB was first found in Florida, and we have leveraged some of the tools of modern biology to try to find solutions, and hopefully those solutions will come about in time to help those industries. So I'm going to say the future for citrus production looks bright. The massive research investment that has been made is generating options for future plantings, and I think it's going to be with HLB resistant or at least tolerant trees. There are going to be some game-changing technologies to protect uninfected, susceptible trees, such as the ability to quickly identify and remove newly infected trees, or perhaps to prevent ACP from carrying Liberobacter, which is the goal of this new psyllid project. The key missing piece of the puzzle is to have therapies which can help us maintain production in existing infected trees. It's absolutely essential that we be able to do this to generate the cash flow to implement these new solutions. And that's the focus of this workshop. So thanks for giving me the chance to talk with you. Yes, Jules?
Crop insurance helps growers.
I don't really know the answer to that. There is a federal program to help growers plant trees, so they substantially underwrite the planting of new orchards. I think it's possible. Does someone else know a better answer? Kelly, do you know much about...
They did for tanker. I think with citrus, though, considering 100% of the trees are infected, it can be hard to get insurance. Pre-existing condition.
I know somebody can get an asthmatic tomorrow, but Matthew Taylor was in our department way back in 2009, great right there. She's in crop insurance.
So, I don't know the answer for you, Jules, but if I don't get back to you, shoot me an email and I'll find out. Thank you. Any other questions or comments at this time?
I have one more question.
Yes.
Since I
Yes. So the question is, Huang Longbing is a Chinese name. How big a deal is HLB in China? And what are they doing there? So yes, the first definitive find of this disease, Huang Longbing, was in China about 50 years ago. It had been confused with some other diseases before there were good diagnostic methods to really make sure we were dealing with the same thing. And there have been great devastation in some areas. And so it's kind of a boom or bust approach. China has a vast enough land area that essentially they can go to another place within China and plant. But it definitely is affecting their industry, and it's something that they've been actively researching as well. Okay. Thank you.